Saber. I'm so excited to kick off this new series we're starting today called Consumed by Grace. Consumed by Grace. I tell you, it's one of the most foundational things of our Christian walk is the concept of having a full understanding of grace. This is a big thing. We talked about it in our last series that we just finished up called The Journey. We talked about the different bridges that take us from being a believer to a newcomer, from being a new Christian to becoming a person who loves the Lord, becomes close to God, and becoming a person from close to God, become a person who was what? God-centered, Christ-centered. And there's different bridges that take us there. And three of the bridges we named were grace, the Word, and giving. And I want us to come back now, and I want us to look at some of these bridges in this next series we're starting right now. It's called Consumed by Grace. Having a full understanding of grace. I believe that this is one area that probably is the most debated and the most misunderstood, and throughout the church is this concept, and even the word that is preached by Jesus himself and throughout Scripture is the word grace. And what does it mean, and how does it apply to my life, and does it have something to do? Of course, I know it means a lot in my salvation, but how does it relate to me in my everyday walk with the Lord? And so today we're going to look at this thought of righteousness, the righteousness of grace, the righteousness of grace. We're going to be looking in Romans today, Romans chapter 4. You can turn there, and we're going to look right there. I know we have our scriptures on overheads, but I do appreciate those who are bringing your word with you and taking notes every week. Hopefully you got your bulletin, you turn it over, and you're taking these notes, and you're using them for your devotion time throughout the week. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. What then shall we say about that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by what? By works, he has something to brag about, to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And what the Scripture is teaching us is right here, is we learn that when it comes to Abraham, and it applies to our life as well, that when it comes to our salvation, that is not what? It's not to do with works, that we are saved through grace. It's about grace. Our salvation is given to us by grace. Let me say this to you today. I believe that we look through everything in our eyes. We look through two ways. We either see things through grace's eyes, or we see things through legalism. One or the other. We either see things through grace, or we see things through legalism. And we look at things in our life, and you see God according to what? Your view of grace. Your attitudes about God all can be linked back to what your knowledge is and what your understanding is about grace. Let me say this to you. Your attitude about yourself goes all the way back to your understanding about grace. Your attitude about the people next to you and what you think of them, it all can be linked back to your attitude and your understanding and your knowledge about what? Grace. Grace affects everything. The way I look at you, I have to look and say, you know what? I got to have a full understanding of grace. The way you look at me, you got to have some grace. If not, man, there's a lot of things there that are going to rub you the wrong way. There's a lot of things that people are going to disappoint you and things are going to happen. And if we don't learn it at an early age in our spiritual walk, we walk around condemning people. We walk around opinionating people. This person's spiritually mature. This person's righteous. This person's a heathen. This person is this and that. And we don't have any understanding about grace at all. And we just think we do. And we take what we little knowledge we have about grace and we apply it to different ones' lives and to our own life. We come in today. Some of you here today, you battled with this thought of grace. Worship's going on and God's presence is here. And some of you this morning, you wanted to really enter to God's presence, but you said, you know what? I just had a bad week this week. I'm not even worthy to raise my hand. If I raise my hands this morning and worship God, I'm going to be the biggest hypocrite there. Pastor, if you could have seen what I was doing on Tuesday, whoo, you wouldn't even let me in this building today. And so our grace affects even our own walk and how we view ourselves and our relationship with God. And so today, as we're talking about the righteousness of grace, we've got to understand there's a difference between legalism and grace. Legalism is what? Simply we define it as perfectionism. Being perfect, basically, is where it leads us to. Those people who are legalistic are people who are looking for people to be perfect. And we know today that it's very easy to get caught in that trap of drawing the line of trying to be a perfectionist. People don't live up to our standards, so therefore we hold them to an account of legalism. If you ask any person on the street today who went around and just asked them, what's your view of heaven? How do you get to heaven? How do you make it to heaven? Probably most people in general are going to say that pretty much we can sum it off in one thing. They're going to say, well, if you got to do more good than you do bad, then you're going to make it to heaven. You just got to do a lot more good than you do bad, and you're going to make it to heaven. That's kind of the view of the world when it comes to grace and Christianity and making it to heaven. The only thing wrong with that simply is this, is that you can never be good enough. You and I can never be good enough. We can never do enough good things to get to heaven. We can never do enough good things. But we are justified by what? By grace. The problem is this, is that God's standard is not good. Do you know that? We think of a lot of good and we think of a lot of things happening. Think of a lot of good going on and we think, you know what? I'm good and this person's good and they're okay. And we try to say it's a grace. The problem is this, God's standard is not good. I can't do enough good things because God's standard is what? It's not good. God's standard is what? Perfect. He who knew no sin. His standard of living is perfect, and it's a standard that you and I can never achieve. It's a standard that you and I can never amount to when it comes to understanding the grace of God in our life. And so today we're talking about this grace, and I want us to look at this in James 2:10. Look at the scripture, what it says. For the person who keeps all of the laws, except one, is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. So let me ask you this question. How many here have broken all the laws in the Bible? Anybody here, be honest, I've broken all the laws in the Bible? A few of you here? All right, how many here, be honest, I've broken at least one law in the Bible? Right. Or let me say this. You're just as guilty as the person who raised their hand last time. According to the scripture, this is what it's teaching us. We are just as guilty if you've broken one law or you've broken every law in the Bible. That's what it's teaching us here. That the person who keeps all the laws but one, he breaks just one law, he's just as guilty as the person who breaks every law in the Bible. That don't seem fair, does it? I mean, how many know that's not a very good curve there? Learning curve or being graded on the curve, it's not very fair. But that's because God's standard is so high that even one broken command, even one ounce of imperfection is not living up to His standard. Because God's standard is a high perfection. It's perfect. And that's where legalism comes in and tries to say, you got to be perfect or God doesn't love you. You got to be perfect or you're not living for God. You got to be perfect or you're not righteous. And so we're having an understanding of what God's standard is. Have an understanding of this. Look what Romans 4:3 says. We just read it a second ago. Let's read the third verse again. For what does Scripture say? It's talking about this is how Abraham received his salvation. Look what it says. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Believed, accounted, and righteousness. These are three areas today I want to talk about grace. We're going to look at these three areas and how grace applies to our life. And we're going to go backwards here. Let's start with righteousness. Number one, when it comes to grace, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Firstly, we understand that righteousness means basically to what? Be in right standing with God. To be in right standing with the Lord. And so today, when we think of somebody who is righteous, we think of somebody who is standing right in God's eyes. If I say this person is righteous, what comes to your mind? If I say Jim is a righteous guy, what do you think about? He's a guy who does right things, right? He's a guy who lives for God, and he's righteous. Let me ask you this. Is Jim righteous because he does right things? No, Jim is not righteous because he does right things. Jim is righteous because God is righteous. He believes in God, and he wants to please the Lord. Because he has been made by grace righteous, he wants to live the right way. There's a difference. I'm not righteous because of the way I live. I live righteous because of what God's done in my life. Some of you need to catch that concept here. I'm not righteous because of the right things I do. I am acting righteous because I want to please God who gave his life for me. Because I received this gift of righteousness by grace. I am not in right standing with God because I do right things. I'm in right standing with God because Jesus did the right thing. See, Jesus was the only one who was righteous. He was the only one who lived to that standard of God's standard of being perfect. It was he who walked the earth and who yet knew no sin. He's the only one who lived to that perfect level of never making a mistake and never having sin in his life. And so when I receive of his salvation, I receive his righteousness. And I'm made righteous because of my belief in the one who is righteous. I never made righteous because I go around doing right things. But I want to do right things because I know God is righteous. See the difference here. My attitude is I want to do what's right. I want to do the things that please the Lord because God has changed my heart. Because God has given me an overwhelming, consuming amount of grace in my life. So it causes me in return to want to live righteous. But I've never received righteousness by my own good deeds. Because he has made me righteous. I live a certain way. Let me ask you this story. There's a man. He's a righteous man. He's a Christian man. And he goes down on Monday to get his taxes done. He's waited till the last minute like many of you. And he's rushing in there to get his taxes done. And while he was there, they're going back and looking at the numbers, and the tax preparer there is looking over his numbers and said, something's not adding up right here. You got a big return coming because you didn't collect all the different deductibles you had. And let's go back. I found you $5,000 extra. Do you care if I go back and check the last 4 years and see, make sure you didn't overlook those as well? And they go back and check 4 years and kind of find out the guy is owed $25,000 in refunds that he didn't know about. And he says, I'll take the rapid refund. And he talks out with $24,500 check wrote out right there to him. How many know that person's going to be in a great mood, isn't he? And he walks in, not expecting, all of a sudden he finds out, I got $25,000. And so on his way home, he's just so happy, and he's cruising around, and he sees an old lady trying to cross the street, and he pulls over, and he helps her around the water puddle. Let me help you, ma'am. And he gets in smiling, and he stops at the man who's asking, the homeless man who's asking for money. He says, hey, let me go buy you something to eat. And he buys him something to eat and gives him a little money. And he smiles, and he gets home, and the neighbor kids have kicked the ball in his yard and broke out a window. He takes the ball and he gives it back to him and says, you guys be careful now. It's okay. We'll let it go this time. So nice to them. Let me ask you, is this man who's not righteous, okay? He's not a righteous man. He's not a Christian. Has he become a righteous person just because he did some righteous deeds that day? Just because he's doing some right things that day, does that make him a righteous person? Does it? Yes or no? This is not a Christian question. No, right. He doesn't become righteous just because he had a great day and did some right things. So let me ask you this question in reverse. Let's say there's a Christian person who's very righteous, and they go to the tax collector on Monday. And they get there, and they're thinking they're going to get back a $5,000 refund. They come to find out they've done the math all wrong. And there's some new laws that have been in effect. And they come to find out instead of them getting back $5,000, they owe the government $25,000 they didn't know about in past mistakes. And they leave there frustrated because they just found out they owe the government $25,000. Can you imagine? I don't want to go there. All right. Can you imagine coming out of there thinking, I owe the government IRS $25,000? And so on the way home, instead of helping the old lady across the street, he hits the water puddle and soaks the old lady. The homeless man comes up to his car at the stoplight and says, and he goes down the window, get a job! I give you the money, you're just going to spend it on alcohol anyway. Get out of here. He gets home, and the kids kick the ball in the yard and break out a window, and he takes their ball and kicks it down the gutter and says, your dad's going to pay for this out of your hide. He's having a bad day. Let me ask you this. Because this man who was righteous has a bad day and does some unrighteous things that day, does he lose his righteousness? No. See, our idea of righteousness is so much skewed. We think that if I can be right, then I attain righteousness. And if I don't act right, I lose righteousness. And righteousness is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about being perfect. It's about being with God in a position with God that God has for you and I. Our righteousness is about our position with God, not about being perfect. We know today that we don't lose it just because we have a few mistakes. And yes, there's consequences to that. That old man sure earned his testimony, didn't he? I'm sure that old lady sure is going to remember who that man is. Next time she sees him getting out of the car at Walmart, she's going to take her cane and hit him upside the chin. I'm sure the neighbor kids are going to say, man, stay away from that grumpy old man. Next time they go next Easter, when I invite them to church, I ain't going to your church, man. You're a grouch. I mean, there's some consequences with acting unrighteousness, okay? There's some things that come along with our sin. There's things that come along with not acting right, okay? There's consequences to that. The Bible's very clear about that. There is wages that go along with our mistakes. We reap what we sow. But when it comes to our righteousness, we don't lose our righteousness, our position with God, just because I have a bad day. It's a position that God has placed me in through grace, something I didn't deserve, something I didn't earn, something I can never earn, something I can never do enough good deeds about. I can never be good enough. It only comes through grace, something given to me that I didn't deserve, something I could never earn. I must freely accept it, something He gives to all of us. Righteousness is about our position with God, not about our performance. It's about our position with God. It's not about our performance. Let's go to the second part of this. Did Abraham earn it? Let's ask about that. When it came to his righteousness, when it came to his salvation, did Abraham earn his salvation? Look what Romans 4:2 says. We just looked at it a second ago. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. First of all, let me tell you this. There will be no bragging in heaven. Right now, I just tell you right away, you know this, that there will be no boasting, no bragging in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're not going to say, well, I got here because I did a lot of good things. There's going to be nobody walking around saying, well, I got here because I did this, or I got here because I got done that. No, when we get to heaven, Scripture teaches us that the only thing on our mind is going to be, you know what? The only reason I'm here, the only reason I'm here is because I serve a gracious God. It's because I serve a God who's full of grace, who saw me in my sin, who saw me in my filth, who saw me in my despair, and He offered me grace, forgiveness. He offered it to me, even though I didn't earn it, even though I didn't deserve it. And God, I throw my crowns down. I throw you everything I am to your feet. We're going to bow at His feet. We're going to worship Him. We're going to say, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Wow, we're going to be singing songs of worship, saying, God, we love you. God, it's all about you. No one's going to be walking around saying, I'm here because I attended church for 35 years. And I only broke one law in 35 years. There's not going to be no boasting in heaven, because our salvation is all about grace. It's not about performance. Romans 4:2, we just read it, says this. Will say, I'm here because why? Because of the blood of Jesus. That's why I'm here. I'm here because of grace. Romans 4:4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as what? Debt. Let me ask you this. Does God owe anybody anything? Does God owe anybody anything? No, He doesn't. God don't owe you jack. God don't owe you squat. So don't get up in the morning saying, God, when am I going to get mine? God don't owe you anything. He don't owe me anything. We owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. Our life, our time, our talent, our treasure, our heart, our dreams, our vision, our pride, our work. We owe him everything because of grace. Because of righteousness given to me, I owe him everything. So passionately, God, I want to love you. Passionately, God, I want to serve you. Passionately, God, I want to have an understanding of what your grace is. Because of your grace, God, I owe you everything. God, you don't owe me anything. That's what Scripture says. Because to him who works, wages are not counted as grace. It's debt. And so if God gave us righteousness because we acted right, then we're earning it. And God owed it to me. God, I did my good deeds this week. Now you owe me. No. God's like, I don't owe you anything. We don't get to it by good works. We get to it as grace. That's what he says. It's grace. God gives it to us freely. He gives us grace. Freely, he's given it to us. It blows us away because we have a hard time taking anything free, don't we? I mean, people try to give us free things, and we're like, what's the catch, you know? Someone calls you up and says, you just won. You're like, how much is it going to cost me, you know? I tell you what, if I win another free satellite system this week, it's free. All you got to do is sign up on the credit card for 2 years. And I mean, someone calls you, you just won a free carpet cleaning. All I got to do is come and try to sell you this rainbow or Caribbean. I mean, there's always a catch to it, isn't there? I mean, there's always something that's going to cost me. We have a hard time taking free things. And when someone really genuinely wants to give you something free, you're like, you sure I can't pay for it? Well, you sure? I don't mind paying you for it. We have a hard time taking things that are free. We always feel like there's a catch, 22, don't we? What's the catch? If I take this from you, some of you know what I'm talking about. You got a brother-in-law, if you take something from them, or your sister, or somebody, you take something from them. All right, if I take it from you, then you're going to want to borrow all my stuff for the rest of my life. I know how this works. Just keep it, or I'll pay you for it. Because next year, you're going to want something free from me. And so we have a hard time taking free things without thinking that there's a catch behind it. Oh, take this free vacation. Oh, by the way, we're going to go with you, okay? I don't want to go on vacation with you, please. I've been trying to avoid that for years. I don't care if you pay for it or not. There's always a catch, and so we have a hard time taking free things. And so in our heart, when we see that God gives us freely his grace, we're like, what's the catch? There's got to be a catch here. There's got to be a catch because, you know what? There's got to be a catch to it. And the catch is this. I got to freely receive it. Of course, God knows this. He knows if I receive it and truly receive it, then I'm going to want to change who I am. I live righteously because he has made me righteous. I don't try to do right things to become righteous. I live righteously because he who was righteous, who knew no sin, freely gave me grace and understanding who I am. Let's explain this a little bit better. When it talked about the accounted, he said, Abraham, it was accounted to him. We just read that a few minutes ago. It was accounted to him. I don't know what accounting means. That means what? In his bank account, okay? It was given in his account. So let's look at this analogy of bank accounts. Let's go to the next slide, guys. Let's say we have 3 bank accounts here. We have a bad one, a good one, and a perfect bank account. So for the bad one, we need somebody who can be really bad. Who's someone you can think of who really has messed up in their life, okay? What name can we put there for bad? How about Gene? Okay, let's go with Gene. All right, someone who's really messed up. Let's use the name Gene. That's a good name for someone who's messed up in their life. That's me. Let's look what's in his account there. In his bank account, over his lifetime, he's had some bad things happen in his life. He's allowed sin to come in. And he's got a few right things there. But really, before he was a Christian, this is the way his account really looked like. Before he gave his heart to God, this is what his account really looked like. Before I was a Christian, my account looked just like this, man. My heart was full of sin. I made a lot of stupid mistakes in my life. I did a few good things, but overwhelmingly, my account looked like this. Anybody can relate to this account today? Okay, I guess I'm the only one who's bad here. Okay. When we think of a good person, let's think of someone who's really righteous, someone who's really good. Who do you think of? We think of someone who's really good. How about the name Melody? Let's look at that name. All right, the name Melody. Let's look at Melody's account. Okay, in Melody's account, she's done a lot of right things. I mean, she was born speaking in tongues. She was saved at 2 years old, and her parents, she was delivered from NyQuil one time. I mean, there's nothing else. I married her. I'm like, haven't you done anything wrong? Come on. You got to do something wrong, Will. No. I fell asleep at church one time. You know, what do you know? She's done a lot of right things in her life, and she wasn't perfect. She had a few sins there. So which account is better? Gene or Melody's account? Melody's looks better on paper, doesn't it? But in God's eyes, they're the same. Because he says, even the person who what? Even the person who has even one sin is just as guilty as the person who has many sins. So your count, you may think your count looks good on your own. I'm a pretty good person. I'm keeping all God's commands. I'm doing all this, and my count looks really good. It's really righteous. Let me tell you this. Your account on its own, the way it stands, even before you're a Christian, this is what I'm talking about, before you're a Christian, your account, when you look at it, it doesn't make a difference. Your account looks the same as a person who's just full of bad things. Who's a perfect person we can use? Of course, there's only one name that comes to mind there. What's the name? Jesus, the only person who lived the perfect life. What does his account look like? Jesus' account looks like this. There's a big R. For righteousness right there. He says it's full of righteousness. Jesus' account is full of righteousness. No sin. It's perfect. It's a perfect account. And so we look at these accounts and we look at this scripture. Look what Isaiah 64:6 says. But we are all like what? An unclean thing. But all of our righteousness are like what? Filthy rags. That's what it says. It says, we are all. It didn't say, but a few. It didn't say, except for the ones that have been in church for 25 years. It didn't say, except for those who were preachers' kids growing up. It didn't, those are even worse. I know, we're talking about this. It says, but we are all. We know what that means. We are all like what? Unclean things. And all of our righteousness, that's all of us trying to do the right thing. That's what he's saying. All of us trying to obtain our righteousness on our own are like filthy rags. It's filth in God's sight. Why? Because God's standard is so high. His standard is so high that we can never get there. And there's people who spend their whole lives trying to get there on their own. They've been saved and they have no understanding what grace really means in their life. And they're trying to get there and they feel like they failed God. And God can't love me because I just can't get to my righteousness. I just can't get to the standard. My bank account looks horrible. He says he accounted to Abraham righteousness. What's that mean, accounted? That means what? That he deposited into his account. Into his account, it was deposited righteousness. And so what's that mean for you and I? So look at my account again and Jesus' account again. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, something amazing happens. Jesus comes to me, and he deposits his account into my account. And he takes my account, and he deposits it into his account. And we reverse. See, a salvation, that's what God did. A salvation, he came to you, he said, I'm going to take your account. As filthy as it is, like filthy rags, I'm going to take your account. I'm going to take it and deposit it all into my account. And I'm going to take everything into my account, and I'm going to deposit it to what's in your account. And so when God looks at you and I, he looks at our account and says, you know what? This person's righteous. He will live. And he looks at Jesus' account and says, but you must die. Because he took the weight of the world, the sins of the world, to the cross. He carried them for you and I. He took our account, and he took it with him upon the cross. He took our account and he nailed it there to the cross willingly. And willingly, he gave you and I an account full of righteousness. I didn't deserve it. I could never earn that. I could never be that good. I could never earn it. You could never earn it. I could never get promoted to that much. I could never receive it. I could never be that good. I could never be that perfect to receive a full count of righteousness. Only I could ever receive it was the only one who has it, turns around and gives it to me. It's called grace. Not giving me death of what I deserve, but giving me a countful of righteousness. In return, he takes my sin and receives it to me. So what did Abraham do? Very simple. What did Abraham do? Number three, he believed. He believed. Look what John 6:28 says. Then they said to him, what shall we do? We're talking to Jesus. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent, whom he sent. We know today that our righteousness comes. We do the works of righteousness through our belief in God. I can never be righteousness good enough on my own. But when I receive by grace those who was righteous, Jesus Christ, he takes and deposits into my account the big R, the big righteousness. And my account gets emptied into his because of my belief in him. That's grace of righteousness. We never earn it. We can only receive it by faith. And think about it. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. One of the most famous scriptures in the Bible is John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. And the scripture after that is just as powerful. It says that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may have life. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to get your account and say, you die, you filthy rag. No, he looks at God, looks at our account and says, it's filthy rags. But Jesus said, I've come to give you what? Not condemnation, but forgiveness, grace. But I must receive it. If I lack to receive that grace, I'm filthy rags. I am condemned to die. But when I receive by grace the righteousness of my account, wow, I'm walking in the righteousness of grace. Today, if you're a Christian, you've walked in that grace. Some of you didn't even know you had that grace in your account, did you? Some of you are so worried about other things, you're thinking, Pastor, I can just go out and live how I want to then. No, wrong, 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 wrong. This is not an excuse to go out and go do what you want to do in your life. Because he is righteous, made me righteous in return. Now, I want to go out and do the right thing. That's how I know I'm saved. I want to turn away from my sin. I don't want to continue to repeat the same sin over and over again. No, my belief in Jesus Christ is I want to change who I am. I want to pursue after doing the right things in my life. I want to sue after acting right, righteous. I want to act righteous. I've been made righteous, and now I want to act it. I haven't been made righteous to go out there and act a fool. I've been made righteous because I want to try to do the right. Does it mean I'm going to make mistakes? No, you're going to make mistakes. We all do, and we all will. But when I make a mistake, it doesn't mean I lose my righteousness. Because my righteousness is given to me what? By God's grace. By faith. Did Abraham, God came to Abraham. We've seen the story. God came to Abraham. As it was given to him, accounted to him by his righteousness, given to him freely to God. He appeared to Abraham. Can you imagine God appearing to Abraham and saying, Abraham, I'm going to give you righteousness. Up until this time, I mean, when God met with you, it was a bad thing. I mean, you didn't want God meeting with you. It usually brought down some heavy punishment when God met with somebody. But God met with Abraham here and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Was it because Abraham was a good guy? No. You study out Abraham's life. Abraham really made a lot of stupid mistakes. And even after God made him righteous, what did he do? We see after God made him righteous, we see one time where he took his wife and he gave it to the king and told his wife, you sleep with the king so he doesn't kill me. I mean, this is our hero. Father Abraham. He was worried about getting killed, so he sent his wife off. You sleep with the king and, you know, maybe he won't kill me. Remember when God promised him Isaac and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, you and Sarah a son. Abraham, thinking Sarah was too old, he went and slept with a servant, produced a baby. out of wedlock with the servant. I mean, Abraham messed up a lot. Abraham was a big heathen. He was. Abraham made a big bunch of mistakes in his life. But you know what? God went to him and says, Abraham, I'm depositing into your account righteousness. I have made you righteous. Showing us an example. Let me ask you this in closing. The righteousness of grace, is it better than the righteousness of works? Yes, it is. The righteousness of works will lead you to a place of mental drainage. You'll be mentally wore out. You'll be spiritually wore out because you're never good enough. But the righteousness of grace says, you know what? It's about my position with God, not about my performance. That's the righteousness of grace. It's the one that's been given to all of us freely here for those who receive it, those who accept it. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're talking about this righteousness of grace, and I never understood that before. I always thought I had to be a good person and try to be better before I could ever come to God and ask Him to be my Lord and Savior. Before I could ever come to Him and ask Him to change my life, I thought I had to change my lifestyle. I thought I had to change a bunch of things. And today as you're talking, I realize this, that I can never be good enough. And I just got to come to God today and receive His grace. If you're here today, nobody's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you one bit, I promise you. But I want to give you a chance, if you're here today, and say, Pastor, today I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Today I want to accept that righteousness of grace you've been talking about. Today I'm ready to make sure heaven's my home. I'm ready to confess Him as Lord of my life, to live for Him. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you prayed it a long time ago. And today you say, Pastor, I'm ready to renew that. I've been away from God for a long time. Today I'm ready to renew my commitment to Him. If that's you today, if you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, it's me. I'm ready to make a decision today. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join them? Can you raise your hand? Why is that? Thank you. Anybody else today say, I'm ready to do that, Pastor. I'm ready to walk in this righteousness of grace, man. Anybody else want to join these two today who raised their hands? One more chance. I'll give you one more chance right now. Raise your hand. Before we go any further today, let's all say this prayer today. Repeat it after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All my sin I give to you. All my sin I confess to you. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah. And I will live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We pray that prayer today in a minute. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, let's people pray that prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand up today. If you pray that prayer today, we have some free Bibles and some other things in the back we want to give you to tell you what to do next. Stop in the very back and pick up one of those packets today. It's just a free gift to us, to you. How many today, with this, you're looking at me right now in the eyes, say, Pastor, I need to change the way I see grace in my life. I need to quit trying to get there by my own righteousness and realize it's all about God, not about me. Anybody here today say, Pastor, God's speaking to me about that? Yeah, hands up everywhere. Yeah. It's the righteousness of grace. It's the righteousness of grace. Let's lift our hands up to Him one more time today and just thank Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your grace of righteousness so freely. That's what it is, God. It's grace. We didn't earn it. We're never good enough. But God, You freely gave it to us because You loved us. And God, I thank You today, God, that that's the kind of grace that sets us free to be better Christians, to be better spouse, to be a better student, to be a better person. But God, most importantly, God, it sets us free, God, to be a better Christian. God, that we can show Your love to others and quit walking around with a condemning heart, looking at others, Lord, well, they're this person or that kind of person. And we don't condemn anyone because You don't, God. But those who receive Your grace freely, those who receive it, God, You bring, Lord, righteousness to all of us. And God, we receive that righteousness today. We thank You, Lord, for it. That's why we're here. That's why we freely worship You today, God, because You have freely given us a righteousness of grace. so may it consume us, Lord. May it consume us. May grace, your grace consume us. I pray this week, God, as we're driving to work, that God, we just have our heart full, consumed of grace. When we're working with the kids this week, God, or we're at our job, or we're laying our head on our pillow this week, God, may our heart go back to the thought that, God, we are consumed with your grace. We didn't earn it, and we didn't deserve it. But, God, we freely walk in it, and we freely receive it. And God, we thank you today, and we give you praise together. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap one more time. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Hug a few necks around you. Shake a few hands. Tell everyone it was good to see you in the house of God.